She lay there as long as she could. It was still dark, and before long the sun would crest the horizon, lighting the world around her, and yet not reaching into the depth of darkness she felt a part of. She had not felt the warmth of the sun the day before, and doubted it would warm her this day either. Her world was quiet, stunned. It lingered in silence. She kept thinking, "He's gone. He's gone." He was really gone. She had been witness to the trial, and she saw him after the beatings, and she remembered when she first laid eyes on him, and it nearly took her breath away thinking about all that had happened since the first day when he had healed her. She had followed him in the crowd to Golgotha, wondering the entire time how could he take another step, let alone carry the burden of that heavy cross on his back which had been laid open and still had blood flowing from it. The soldiers, they had been merciless, mocking him and whipping him every time he stumbled or fell. Then there was that painful ringing in her ears, that of metal on metal, as the nails were driven into his hands and feet. And there was a spray of blood as she watched as each nail pierced his flesh, first one hand and then the other. And she wept, and she felt his suffering deep within herself. Why had he not saved himself? He was the Messiah, the one promised of God. He had ridden into Jerusalem, and the people lost in their image of him being their king and wanting for him to lead an army that would free them. The people would lay down their cloaks before him, and they had shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They believed that he had come to deliver them. And she had watched. And she had heard as they turned on him when he did not become what they wanted, and being deceived and had been brought to a level of frenzy, they would then shout out, demanding that he be crucified. She heard him moan as the cross was stood upright and shifted into place, an intense moment of pain, and it only an indication of what was yet to come, as every nerve firing all at the same time. How could he take more? But with the final positioning of the cross, and as it settled into place, she could see that with all his weight bearing down what had been natural in life, he taking of a breath, now had become an agonizingly painful task, taking conscious thought to accomplish each. She herself in agony stood with the other women watching and waiting for a miracle that did not come. And she heard him say, "It is finished." And she watched as he had let go his last breath. She remembered them taking his body down. She could not take her eyes off the holes in his hands and feet inside where he had been pierced with the Roman spear to make sure that he was dead. And the thorns that they had shaped into a crown was lifted from his head. And when they lowered him from the cross, the gashes were so deep. She saw in the wounds up close that covered his body that the flesh had been torn from some of them, and she thought there were places that the depth of the wound allowed her to see bone, and she wept. And she now thought how he had lain in the tomb for 3 days. The Sabbath was over, and she so desired to finish anointing him with spices, and how she had loved him, and now he was gone. And so early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. John 20:1-20. And so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." And so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Oh, they've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." And at this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him, and she cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Oftentimes, our minds weigh heavy with the events and the activities that are taking place, not only in our lives, but around us. As I've read and reread this passage of Scripture, each time I felt my heart melt as I pictured Mary standing there, her eyes filled with tears, not truly being able to see or focus on anything. And her heart was racing as she had been there when they had placed him in the tomb. And her eyes that night had been filled with tears also, but she had known what was happening that night. They were burying Jesus. This day, the third day, all she could think about was that someone, for some reason, had opened the tomb and taken his body. When Jesus asked her why she was crying, she did not recognize him. And yet, when he gently and lovingly said her name, she knew his voice. Do you know his voice? Do you remember the first time that you heard him call your name? What was your reaction? What is it today? In remembering, does your pulse quicken? Do your eyes fill as a pool with tears? Mary had been the first to witness the risen Lord. She had been the first to hear him again, to see him again, to touch him again, and to know that he was not dead, but fully alive. This man who had given her so much hope, so much in life. He was here and with her now. He was alive. The Easter Bunny cannot save you, and the stork will not deliver you. But it is this day, Resurrection Day, that Jesus, who is the Christ and Messiah, he accomplished both of these things by his resurrection from the dead. We are drawn to the cross in remembrance of all he gave when he took our sins upon his back and gave his life that we may have and know life in and through him. In our broken world, everyone wants a piece of the pie, but no one wants to take the time to meet the baker of it. Let us be ever mindful of the suffering he bore. A pain that was inflicted on him that had your name and mine with each stroke of the whip and was known to him by each strike of the hammer. Let us rejoice because he loved us so much. Death could not hold him and the grave could not keep him down, and today he lives and he carries yet today in his nailed scarred hands his love for us. Heavenly Father, our finite minds cannot begin to understand a love as deep as that which you hold for mankind, even when rebellion occurs within us, or when a sinner takes a fall, or when your sons and daughters choose the easy road rather than the path that you have laid before them. We are creatures of habit, and those habits quite often will keep us in bondage and will stagnate or delay our growth, our relationship with you. Father, when we pray, our hearts often remain far away. When we pray, we are too easily distracted. When we pray, we are often fearful and do not listen. And so what we ask for and find given too often disappoints us because we do not seek your will, but the satisfaction of our own. Today, Lord, The noise and the confusion is loud and troubling as we watch hearts hardening, and the solution being presented by the world is death. It deceives people and gives the illusion of peace in it. All the while, the devil knows that those who give in to death may forever bear the weight of the why they gave in to it. Lord, your word is life. Your resurrection is life. Your promise is for eternal life. This resurrection morning, may life come as breath into those who have yet to come to the cross and acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord. And may the lies of the devil be exposed to those who are blind and those who cannot hear. May today be the day that they hear the Savior calling to them, "Come and follow me." Night is settling in, but behold, quickly comes the dawn. He has risen. He has risen indeed.